When you, somebody, I guess it was Harry, did you ask me about this, the stripes? Who asked me about stripes yesterday? By stripes we were healed, the meaning of stripes. I didn't explain that correctly or fully.
It's really stripes.
Under the law, flogging or stripes was a punishment that was given when other punishments weren't enumerated for a particular offense. And so the word flogging there, or stripes, means to be flogged, but it means it's the catch-all for all of the other offenses that man commits that weren't enumerated by, you know, the other ones there that are in Isaiah 53. So, it was 40 stripes less one, according to Deuteronomy. But it wasn't this kind of stripes or flogging that Christ, it wasn't the Roman flagellum, it was just a leather strap. And 13 of the stripes were given on the chest, and then 26 were given on the back. But the Romans' stripes had the leather pieces with the pieces of lead or metal embedded in the leather, and that's what tore the flesh. So when it says, by his stripes we were healed, it's like for everything else that we do wrong, everything else that we screw up on, the stripes covered that. So I didn't explain that fully yesterday. Again, we have to go back to this incredible scripture that it's hard for us to conceive of. And we had a guest come here yesterday, and he just blew him away when I talked to him about it. That by his one offering we have been perfected forever. That statement is almost impossible to believe, because if you analyze the offerings, it's like 150 tapes down there, something on the meaning of the offering, right? You find out that there is no possible human condition that you can be in that his offering didn't take care of. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what age or what time in history or what place you're in. If you really look at those offerings that are enumerated in Leviticus and all the different types and grades, you see that there is no possibility of you being in a situation that his offering didn't cover. And so the reason that statement in Isaiah 53 is so important, by his stripes you were healed, is because that's the one that covers all the other ones, all the other punishments that weren't enumerated. Is that clear now?
Yeah.
Now again, remember, we're going to go into some detail about about healing in terms of in the Old Testament and the New Testament. But again, the question is, why did he just heal a few or some? Why didn't he heal everyone? You know, the answers are innumerable. It can go on forever. Why didn't he heal Shannon? Why didn't he heal me? Why didn't he heal Harry of his mental problems? Did I just dig Harry?
Yeah. I'm starting to get emails from your cyber fans.
What are they saying?
I haven't read them yet.
I'm sure they're going to be in great sympathy for you. And healing and raising from the dead and other miracles and walking on water and all of the things that Christ did. Why did he do them? And if he did those, why didn't he do a whole bunch of others? And I've talked about this years ago. I don't know that I've talked about it recently. But you are never tested by something that you don't possess. You are never called to do something for which you don't have the ability to do or the means to do. And so Christ, having to have gone through the entire range of possibilities, he had to have be tested by raising someone from the dead so that he knew he had that power. He had to be tested by walking on water so he knew that he had that power. He had to be tested by healing so he knew he had that power. So that when he gave up, when he emptied himself, then it was something that he really emptied himself of. I used to use the example that I've never been tested of having to give up being quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys.
You failed the drug test.
Huh?
You would fail the drug test.
See, now you're really going to get some emails now. In fact, I want to encourage them. I've never been tested with regard to a million other things. But in order to fill up the affliction that is lacking in the body, there are things that I am tested with. And the primary one, and I knew that I had the ability to do it because I've done it for so many other people, is to raise money. And now I can't do that. And there's each one of you have a million things, like, you know, whatever it is that you know that you possess, that's what has to be emptied of. Because otherwise there is no meaning to the test. There's no meaning to this mystery. So the reason that Christ healed a ton of people, the reason he brought at least two people, I mean, he raised two people from the dead, the reason that he walked on water, the reason that he did all those other things, was so that he would, as Son of Man, know that he had the power and the ability to do that, so that his emptying of himself would make sense. Does that communicate to you? I don't think it does.
Well, putting him in the place of a real man, a real person, not just a puppet of God. He's, you know, imagine when he went to walk on the water, but, oh, there's some water I'll walk on. You know, if he had no feelings or anything, then nothing means it. We can't identify him with his high place.
Right. The temptations of Christ have no home in human nature. We can only know our own temptations, our own tests. We were never tested to be God of this world. You know, we may have been tested to be county commissioner or something, but to be tested and to empty himself of being God of the world or in total control of time and space is we don't have any way of recognizing that. But the only thing that we would ask is he was tempted in all ways as we are, yet without sin, without self-realization. How can I say this? I don't have enough words. I'm sure some of you will disagree with that. The question is, are you continuing with him in his tasks, or are you still floundering around? Are you still flopping around on the shore trying to make yourself alive? This is huge, if you can hear it, if you can hear it with your ear and see it with your eyes, that he was tested in all possible ways as Son of Man, as we are. That's why it's critical that you understand what it means that you are continuing with him in his test. And that means constantly and always and never ceasing giving whatever is going on up to him rather than holding on to it or thinking you have a problem or thinking you have something to deal with. Does that communicate? Does it ever come into practice in your day-to-day life? Or is it just some words you hear in the morning? What?
Well, the other day I went out driving and I determined, or you might say I was willing to not call anybody an asshole. Because usually I go on a hunt to find at least 4 or 5 assholes.
The doctor's
working. Well, I mean, that's a perfect example. But is it there in the smallest details of your mind that you are they that continue with him in his test? Or are you thinking you're dealing with something? Now, in order for him to have been tested in all ways as we are, and having known that he had the power at all times to solve any issue, and then empty himself of that, gives you a hint of what your daily life should be like.
You know, something just occurred to me. He raised a couple of people from the dead, so he would know he had the power to do that. Well, it just dawned on me. Jesus Christ in the flesh was not omniscient. He was not omnipotent, right? Or else he would have known he had that. He was fully man and fully God. He was in time. Therefore, he didn't know what the Father knew. What appeared to him to be a solution to the pain and suffering in time and space, he knew that his viewpoint was limited. He knew that the Father was greater than he.
And that's why this temptation of Christ didn't just start in the wilderness when he, after his baptism, that therein it was intensified. But the test and the temptation of Christ started when he became a child of the law at 12 years old. And that's why what he said was so critical when he told his parents that he was shocked that they didn't know that he must be about his Father's business. Because once he became a child of the law, he called no man on earth father and no woman on earth mother. And that's what happened to him when he was in debating and the elders were amazed at his wisdom. But he wasn't like super kid. He wasn't this perfect little angel. I mean, he used to offend people. I remember the first time I said this, and several people got very offended. Christ wet his diaper. He crapped in his pants. He screamed and yelled and hollered when things didn't go the way he wanted them to as a little kid. He did everything as a child, as a child, as a child, as a child, until he became a child of the law. I remember.
So all these things he discovered about himself, like raising people from the dead, making stones into bread, prove to him not that he was fit to be king of the world, but prove to him that he was a sacrifice.
Prove to him that he must be about his father's business.
He had to die.
Well, he didn't. I don't know that Winnie knew that he had to die. But remember, that's what the purpose of all of the readings were. Remember that they, at that time, they went through a 3-year cycle of readings. So he started being a part of that 3-year cycle when he was 12 years old. And so he, every time the Psalms were read, or the reading of the Torah or the prophets or the writings was read on a particular day. They met 3 times a week. And they read from the law, the writings, and the prophets. And so every time, and there were several cycles of the 3 years until he was baptized, until he was fully realized. And that's when he had to die. But the point of it is there was this slow dawning awareness of who he was. And it's mind-blowing in excitement to imagine that process. But you've got to hear, it's also mind-blowing in excitement for you to slowly recognize who you are. You're not Son of Man. You're not this poor victim of the flesh. You're not this being that has all these things they got to do and places to go and all that other. You are a legitimate, assuming you're born again, you are a legitimate part of this mystery. And there will be a slow dawning awareness of your inheritance, of who you are. But it's not who you are, it's who we are. That's why it's always our Father which art in heaven instead of my Father which art in heaven. Because you cannot think of yourself any longer as the isolated self, because then you're not singing the new song. The new song is you've lost the I motive in your life. Now, some of you may not have lost the I motive yet. And that's why it's critical that you have enough courage and intellectual integrity to be honest about it. And if you can't, if you've got to do something, then I keep telling you, go do it, go do it. If you got to go somewhere, go there quick, so that you will find out what is necessary for this gift of faith to be shed on you. And that is, or to apprehend the gift of faith that's already been shed on you, I should say. And that is that all human effort, especially that in God's name, is vanity of vanities and vexation of spirit. Better stated, vexation of spirit, better said, is blowing in the wind. It's empty, futile, and blowing in the wind. Are being blown away by the wind. And so, in order to me, and maybe you all are more knowledgeable about this than I am, but I had to, when I went through the 3-year cycle, and I went through it alone, it was the same kind of, I mean, because you find out that the scriptures that are read in a particular time conform to the season of the year, and they conform to the feast schedule. And you see and you can empathize how this slow dawning awareness took place of who Christ was and how he finally understood who he was. And then, from my perspective, the bad news that he had to give it all up. He had to empty himself of all of it. And that's why, probably he had to empty himself of the entire range of I motives in his life. And no less is required of you. I don't want to talk anymore. I hurt too bad.
That first line then of the prayer, "Our Father which art in heaven," really says it. We're out of the same womb as Christ. We're we're acknowledging that we're descended from, created by, lesser than the Father, and that the Father is out of time, and therefore far, far superior to anything that's in time.
You must have read the last word.
Well, it's just kind of coming clear. Yeah, I read it last night before I went to bed, and I had told John, the first time I read it, I thought it was kind of stilted and pedantic and hard to read and not conversational.
That's because John didn't make any changes this time.
Huh?
What? He didn't make many changes like
that. Well,
he.
When I read it last night, it flowed. It's just very clear.
Well, the Lord's Prayer, if all ancient rabbis had a prayer by which their disciples were defined, then him being King of Kings and Lord of Lords, then the prayer that he gave to his disciples was stupendously momentous. But we've made it into, as John said in that last word, the flotsam and jetsam of human existence, because it's been memorized and repeated by rote. So it's lost its significance. We've even succeeded in making the prayer of the God of Gods and King of Kings and Lord of Lords trite, which just blows me away. I don't know if I said anything this morning, but I don't feel like talking anymore.
This, it's kind of come full circle, starting with the stripes, and then as you talk, I ended up with we haven't been touched with, or we don't have a high priest that hasn't been touched with
our infirmities, our weaknesses.
And all of them, that to me is almost what the stripes are, just all of that, we're covered with. But he, as a real man, experienced fully, not with protection from God or anything, whatever. Anyway, he fully experienced everything, so that when he's the genuine high priest, he's not a...
He's a priest after the order of Melchizedek, not after the order of Aaron. The Aaronic priesthood was by birth. The Melchizedek priesthood is by office. In other words, it's something that is beyond the idea that, and that's why the Levites in most of ancient, in most of the time of Israel, the Levites had to teach the priest what to do, because the priests were dorks. They just happened to have been born into the family of Levi. The family of Aaron's descendants, I should say.
Last night we all met together, and Gary asked about if anything had lasted and taken from the Straits. And one of the things that I thought about several times and continued to come back into my awareness is that story about the rabbi whose followers didn't treat each other with respect, and therefore a plague came upon them.
Alag Ba'omer.
Yeah. The idea of not treating each other with respect, with brotherly love, whatever, however you want to say it. That's been a major failing of mine over the years.
Yeah, considering each other lightly.
And the whole idea of what you said the other day about hating somebody because they don't say exactly what you say exactly the same way. It's just...
Anybody else? I would urge you to this time read the last word on the Lord's Prayer or the disciples. All right. Take a big guy. See, I've got some rollover minutes now.